Thank you, Wayne. Thank you. I'm so delighted to be here with you this evening. It has been a long, long, long flight from Kenya through Amsterdam, then to Detroit, Michigan, and then yesterday again got into a flight, and then Wayne received me at the airport here. It's my pleasure to be with you tonight. I know God has got a purpose of you having chosen to come and listen to what really God is doing in Africa. And I know most of you have been in Africa, perhaps few of you, and I would like to invite you to come to Kenya, Muli Children Family, and be our guest and be our friends. And I hope also this will be a beginning of you wanting to come and join us in the ministry that God started 21 years ago, using somebody like me, who was actually completely desperate and hopeless and nothing. And when we talk about nothing, people may not know nothing, because most of you have never run without money in your pocket to buy food or to buy something important for your family. The word nothing, it means totally minus, because when you have nothing, then you have minus in your pocket. And therefore, God used me that way. But before I go to really to highlight some areas of my life, I would like to bring greetings from my wife Esther, and she is at present in Germany together with a team of young children, not really young, because they are between 12 years and 19 years old, and they have been there for almost 1.5 weeks. We had a wedding. My daughter got a young man from Germany, and they fell in love, and for over 2 years they planned to get married. And all of us as a family, we flew from Kenya to Germany, where we had such a lovely wedding, and we thank God so much for that. Again, when I left Kenya, Germany, I came to Kenya. I had about 4 days, and worked in the office for about 3 days. The fourth day, I prepared myself to leave to come to America. And the same day, I was about to be left to be late. I was going to miss the flight. And the reason was that I just worked in the office until when I looked at my watch, I found that it was only 1.5 hours to catch up the flight. And then I drove all the way, and suddenly there was a strong storm, and there was a traffic jam, and I had not really parked. So I was to pass through my house and do little parking. My wife was not there. And, and to make the matter worse, there was a blackout immediately before, as I entered in the house, there was a blackout which took all the time I was in the house for a short time. It was too dark. And I wanted to pick up my suitcase and put what was right, the socks, underwear, and a shirt, and all this. And that's when I also realized that there is importance of light. When Jesus talked about the darkness and the light, that should be all lit and put it on the table, I came to realize this. Because always when I went round and round, I could not find what I wanted. But I remembered at once, we have a light small light which is charged, and you have to keep it ready sometimes for any eventuality. And then I went to that corner, then I picked it, and then I lit it, and then there was light. And I was happy. So I did so quick, very fast. Then went down and took a car. The driver was taking me to the airport, and as he was driving, then I thought that he was driving very slowly. So I told him, please, let's exchange. Then I took the car to the airport, and then I started driving. And I tried to maneuver the way. And I was at the airport before they closed the check-in. So I had another, one of my son, or my adopted son, among men, over 2,140 children. And then we were moving. I told him, you know, since he has never been to America, I told him, we are going far away. And far away is through the blue skies, and we'll go and go and go. But when we arrived at the airport, the dreams were about to be deterred, because the officer said, you cannot check in, you are late. Okay, I said, you cannot allow us. He said, no. I said, well, something happened, and this is what happened. He said, he doesn't want to hear the story. No. And then I just looked at his face, I said, God, and then I said, you have a part to play. And I pointed to his feet, you know, his height. You have a part to play. This boy is going to school. And I'm going somewhere. And we have been waited. He said, well, that's not my problem. I told him, listen, I'm telling you again that you can play a part now. You can make things happen now. You can make things happen if you want to. If you don't want, nothing is going to happen. But if you say yes, you are going to make a change. You are going to do that. And then he looked at me and then he said, who are you? Who are you telling me that? And then I told him. And then so quickly said yes. And then he signed somehow a ticket. Then quickly we were allowed to check in. Then we were taken by that officer. He took us all the way upstairs where the people were going inside the, you know, the flight. And there we were allowed to go in. Then we sat down. Then I was relieved. So I am here because of God. Purpose, otherwise would have really been late. So we came all the way to Michigan Detroit, and the boy was admitted. And then I had also organized with my dear brother, Wayne, and he picked me, and then it was yesterday. And then we started a new chapter. And yesterday we had a very lovely, good dinner with a friend of mine, and his friend as well, and Nancy. And this morning again, when I woke up, we started again a program for today. And I'm happy to be here. That's how I'm here. The day after tomorrow, we'll be leaving to go back to Kenya through Toronto for 3-4 days, and then Nairobi for 7 days. Then I'll go back to Germany, and I'll join my family, and we'll accomplish the mission there, and then we'll come back again to Kenya. So that is what the Lord is using us for, the ministry, and using us to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ and strengthen the people about their faith that God liveth. How was nothing? 6 years. When I was 6 years, then I came to a very cruel end of enmity, hatred, through my father's way of life. And then when I was 6 years old, I came to realize that there was something unusual in our family, because we were very, very poor. And my father could not cater for our basic needs, in especially food. He owned nothing. He never wanted to work. Whenever he got a job, you know, then... Oh. Sorry for that. I'll just switch it off completely. Yes, sorry for that. And then I also knew that my mother was into trouble. She was beaten by my father, and many times we slept outside from the house. And those days were days always when I remember, I always feel like, yes, there are few people in this world who would really be able to go through that kind of life. And then afterward, they left me, and for 10 years, I never met them. And so I became a beggar as a small boy. I continued to suffer. I wanted to go to school. There was nothing forthcoming. But by grace of God, I was able to go through school up to through elementary school to intermediate school, grade 8. And after that, there was nothing else that I could do. And that was my life, and struggling for food, struggling for everything. And when I was 16 years old, I was wondering what to do. I had lost hope. And I knew that something bad within me and my family took place. And I kept on asking myself, why should all this happen to me? Why not to other children? So many other children enjoyed the love of their parents. So many of them, they really enjoyed being in school, having nice clothes. And me, I had nobody to care, nobody to call me son. And therefore, those questions came in as I was so much in trouble. I was engaged in heavy labor, child labor, going digging in the farms, coffee farm, as well as also picking coffee. And it was really very difficult life. When I was 16 years old, I felt like giving up, committing suicide, because why should I live in such a world where there was no love, where there was no hope? And you, I know what you know what it means by hope. Hope means that you hope for something, and that makes your life to expect something, makes somebody to work hard because you hope for something. But when you have lost hope in this world, when you do not have food, not only for tomorrow, for the next hour, when you have no security, and when you have no clothes, and then you wear torn clothes, then you feel like, yes, there is no hope. And why should I live? So this question came. And then before I was able to do anything bad or take action, a friend came and saw me, trying to encourage me. But he invited me to go to a Christian youth rally. And when I went there, since I was not a Christian, there was a preacher. Thank God that the preacher was speaking about the forgiveness of our sin and how the Lord Jesus Christ came down. He left his eternal home in heaven because of me, because of you, because of the entire world. I did not know that secret until when he started preaching. But before that, they were jumping. Young people were jumping with joy. The joy that I had not had. They were smiling and clapping. And me, I was just standing there. And when the preacher spoke about the love of God, the forgiveness of our sin, there I listened and I felt the message was for me. It was really me, because I was very, very down. I had no hope. And the message was clear that Jesus came so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. That he came so that we may be forgiven. And I remembered how I was bitter so much because of my father and my mother having abandoned me when I was 6 years And I had so much hatred to the people. I never felt comfortable in a company of a group of people. I lived a solitary kind of life. And that life could not lead me to a better life. And then I raised my hand and said, God, here I am. Forgive me. I want to receive you. And the moment when I said that, and I was when I was prayed for, I got the greatest joy in my heart. And I remembered straight away, my father whom I had not seen for 10 years, and my mother. And I felt like forgiving them. Because the Bible says that when we forgive our Father also, He forgives us as well. And we are at peace with Him. And we get peace with those who wrong us. And the first person was my father, then also my mom. But mostly my father, because always I knew, and my wish was when I grow up, then I could fight him. I said that one day I'll grow and then I'll fight him. Because the way he fought us and he chased us from the house, fought my mother, for me, I was so angry about that. And so after that, I started knowing how to read the Bible, prayers, and I became so much engaged into reading the Bible, and I came to know more about the love of God. I came to know more the importance of prayer. And I committed myself so much, and I said, God, help me. I would like to become an important person. I'd like to one day to serve you, and help me, God. I did not have shoes when I was 16 years old. I had torn clothes. I did not have long trousers, only short, and that was my life. And then after 1 year, I felt like wanting to go to the city of Nairobi to look for a job. And going to the city of Nairobi, covering 85 kilometers from where I was born, in a place known as Kangundo in Eastern Province. Going to Nairobi, where everybody want to go to look for green pasture, and not knowing what will befall on me. No money, no food, no beddings. And there I was. 4 days, I covered the desert. And I remember along the way, getting water, standing in water to drink. Because as you walk, and Africa is warm, it's not like here. However, even I just came to discover here it becomes warm. the first night that I did not cover myself with the beddings yesterday, last night, then I slept. And I could not believe that. But Africa, those who have been there, it's really hot. And then when you walk, and you walk, you have no food, you feel dusty, there's no clean water, you have no right, then you don't know what to do. But I had Christ Jesus, and I had the joy, and the rain. And in Nairobi, I started begging food, begging money, and for the whole day and the following day, I was knocking everywhere. But I knocked in one place, not a door, but a gate. Because in Nairobi, you find these big gates. And then I knocked, and I felt like, okay, the owner is not coming. So I picked a small stone, and then I started eating. Go, 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 go. And then a woman came quickly, running, and she came to the gate and said, asked me, why are you knocking the door? I said, well, I'm feeling so angry, and I'm looking for a job. And then she said, what kind of a job? I said, any job, anything that you can provide. And then she asked me, can you do ground work, cutting grass, flowering, everything? Then I said, yes, I can do that. And then we agreed $1. At the end of the month, she could pay me that dollar and provide food every day, provide accommodation. And I was so happy. I was so happy about the life. And I was so excited to start a new life of working. I worked for 6 months. And after 6 months, she spoke to her husband, who was a chief executive officer of a very big company, which dealt with farming of coffee, pineapples, macadamia for export into Europe. And this lady spoke to her husband and said, "This young man has stayed with us for 6 months, and he has done so well, washing clothes, ironing clothes, cleaning the dishes, and everything. Please, can't you look for a job for him in your company?" And this man, it took about almost 2 weeks. And then later, he got me a job as a field clerk, going around to the field about 100 kilometers away from the city of Nairobi. And then I used to go pick names of everybody, over 800 people who were in the farm, come and do analysis and put them in the main register and so forth. I said that. But after a short time, I was promoted. I became supervisor. And there later, I became assistant manager. And I was paid well. I decided to buy a car. And so I bought a good second-hand vehicle, Ford Cortina. And there I was, a poor boy, driving my own car. And it was very exciting. There I felt like, why should I continue to enjoy? Can't I do something else different? God gave me an idea. The idea was to start doing business using the same vehicle. And then I converted this vehicle to become a taxi. I started driving, and the people would really go with my car. I put Christian music. And all the time I was singing, driving, and I had so many customers that I could really not serve all of them. With a short period, then I bought another vehicle, and then later another one. I bought a long, big bus which was carrying 62 passengers. And then the business multiplied. God was with me. When we talk about favor, let me stop up there. Favor of God. It doesn't matter who you are, old or young. It doesn't matter which race or which tribe you come from. But when God's favor comes upon you, whatever you touch, whatever you do in the name of the Lord, like Psalms 23, that whatever you do, it will prosper. And that was a reality. And even when I look back all those years, I always see the power of God and see that there's nothing that I can boast of. There's nothing really I did like other people. And then the business continued. And along the way, there was a company, French company. They were looking for somebody who was established in Eldoret, the city of Eldoret, somebody whom they could appoint to become a distributor of gas and oil in the Western Kenya. And there I was. Then I made the application among many other people. Then I was picked. I was given that leadership. We made an agreement. Then I started doing that again. Again, I was appointed to become a distributor of Bridgestone tires and Firestone. And then my business grew. I thought of starting an insurance company. And I employed people. I had 62 workers. And then business started growing. And by that time, I was 29 years old. Can you imagine 21, 29 years old? That one. I built a house. I bought a piece of land. I bought also a property in the city of Eldoret. I constructed a good house for me, my wife, our children. And I kept on moving on. I was appointed to become, because I was a church Hilda. I was nominated and appointed to become the leader of the congregation of 700 people for quite a long time. 1986, I happened to go to the city of Nairobi to do business. As I arrived in the city of Nairobi, there was street boys, a gang of street boys who came and surrounded me. And they asked me for a shilling, for money. And I said to them, why should I give you money? What have you done? This parking does not belong to you. It belongs to the city council of Nairobi. And therefore, you have no manners. And immediately I shut the door of my car, left, went to the business house. 35 minutes I came back, only to find that my car was not there. These boys organized about the stealing of my car. I had the keys, but the car was not there. So I was so much troubled. And I went to report the matter to the police station. From that time, even now, I've never heard about that lost vehicle. That was a story gone. But God prepared through that incident, which happened, for me to think my life in the beginning. And when I saw children, when I saw street children, when I saw gang of young people, dirty, I saw my face in them. And I said, am I not the one? From that time, 1986 to 1989, I never had any peace. I started thinking, who am I? And where did I come from? Why did I not give money or buy bread and give to those children? That was question after another from 1986 to 1989. On 17th of November, 89, is when I was seated in my office. I could not work. I became sick and I felt like wanting to go back home. And when I took my car, drove all the way going home, I realized after 35 minutes, almost 30 minutes, that I'd driven a wrong way. The way going to Uganda, my house was only 5 minutes drive from my office. I'd gone far, then realized that there were trees and there was a bridge. And there I opened my eyes and I said, God, what do you want to teach me? It was a real battle. From 11 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was crying to God, and I said, God, please let me know your will in my life. Tell me. And that struggle, I cried, and my suit, my tie, my shirt was wet with the tears and tears and tears. And because I asked myself, what would have really happened? I would have really gone and had a head-on collision with a trailer, a lorry, or a bus or something. I would have really died. And God, what are you teaching me? Immediately, within the 4 hours, the Spirit of God that was moving, and then I was saying, no, God, because I refused for 3 years. I said, no, God, not me. I cannot do that. The voice was, you are the one. Whatever you have is not important. It is you to go, to preach, to rescue, restore hope in these children who are in Kenya. You are the one. Then I kept on saying, no, it's not me. God, no. I have everything. I've worked so hard. It's mine. And going back will make me very poor. I don't want to go to that kind of life. I have my family. I have my wife. And that was the struggle. But the more I said no, then the more it became difficult for me. And then with one voice, the Lord showed me clearly that it was Him calling me. And there was no option. The only one was either I die, I say no, I will not be there. Or I say, yes, Lord. And the moment I said, yes, God, I'm going to do it. I will do it. Then I got the great joy in my heart. And I started singing. I started driving the car back home. Met my wife at the door. And then I shared with her about the vision. No, I did not share. I just went to bed. And she went straight to the market. She came back in the evening when we had evening dinner. Afterward, I said, all my children were around me. By the way, I'm a father of 8 biological children. And a husband of one wife. There we were surrounding the table. I said, do you know, tonight is the last day for me to be in business. What I have all, I'm going to give it for the poor. I will never work again. I told my wife, from now, don't ask me for anything. You know our bank, you know everything, and when the money gets finished, you know what to do? You kneel down, look up to heaven. Ask God. I will never satisfy you with anything, but only God. And even since that time, it's 21, my wife always, she doesn't ask me about clothing, no shoes, she knows. I remind her, ask God for anything. I will not provide. Because why? I left completely working. I left looking for money. And I said, I only spend for the needs of the needy ones, for the poor or the poorest. And we started moving on. And there, the ministry started. I went to the hospitals. I went to schools, preached the gospel, prayed for the sick one. Those who were sick in the street, I laid hands on them. I went to different parts of the of country, prayed for those who were sick. They got healed, and that's what God gave me. And then, it happened in the car. Before, it never used to be like that. In the car for 4 hours, that's where God gave me those, talents to use it for his own glory, for his own honor, so that those who could not have money to go to hospital, those who had chronic diseases and so forth, they could be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Then it started going like that, and I went to picking the children, those who were jailed, brought into a house. My wife joined me. We cooked for them. I started the school, and up to now, 21 years now, over 6,000 children have gone through our program. And many of them, they are married, they are working with the government as police officers, others officer cadets, captains in the army, and others working in the banks. At the present, we have 58 boys and girls, those who are in the university, and 2 boys who are in overseas universities, one in Australia, and one now, whom we arrived 2 days ago here in USA, is studying at Hope College in Michigan. And therefore, all those children, the Lord has been doing great things in educating them and providing for their needs, especially in education. I don't want to continue to talk about myself, but I know I'm talking about the power of God. When we say, yes, God, and then we don't turn back and look forward. There are three things that I teach the children. One is dedication. When you are dedicated to your master, and when I talk about master, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, our mighty God. You feel that you are dedicated to him, and unless otherwise, then you have no other duty bound, unless only to move on and obey and move forward with the dedication. And then I also teach children, again, those who are at MCF and those who might go to visit in schools and colleges and universities, about commitment. When you commit yourself as a follower, as a servant of God, you are there to be really committed. You don't joke about. There is no joking. It's a matter of being obedient to him. Then again, focus. It makes the three. Remain focused. Remain focused to your God. Remain focused again to what you do. It doesn't matter what you do. As a mother, you remain focused to your family and work hard and make your husband happy. You do your best, very best. Use the commitment, use the dedication. Remain focused for your wedding, for your marriage. You men, you love your wife. Keep on so much. Dedicate yourself to your wife. Commit yourself so much to your wife. And move on. Remain focused. That has been my message. And then the second thing is about forgiveness. It's because when I really got saved and I get to know the love of God, I went around looking for my father and my mother. And God did a miracle. I was able to find them. They were very, very poor, and they were working as laborers, casual laborers, in a white settler's farm. And then I took them from there, and then I brought them to where I used to live, and I built them a house, and I bought bed and everything. It took a long time for even my father again to be able to believe in Christ. He continued to, to drink excessively, as he was so much addicted to alcohol. But through the testimony and through prayer and through the love and through forgiveness, as I forgave him, then he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He changed and he became a good friend of mine. And he is a good friend of mine. He is 90 years old. And we sit down, we chat, and my mother too, she's also strong. She's a happy woman. They never fight, and they love each other. Wow. This is because the forgiveness that I extended them through love, without condition, it changed them. And when in this world, the world of affluence, the world where you have everything, and those things then make you to be separate with your father or your mother or even your very loved one, your husband or your wife or even your children, because there are those things which are around you and you feel that you have everything. I don't need you, my dear. And can you remember when you used to hug each other and you said my dear all the time? Then a time comes, because you have so much around you, then you forget that friendship, that commitment, that dedication. You forget about that love of God which was extended to this world without condition. And that's the message of forgiveness. Through when we forgive, those who forgive. If I forgive you without condition, and I forgive you have wronged me so badly, I get the happiness and the joy of forgiving you. It's me to get that. And then why can't we try God for that? Somebody that's wronged you, your son, your daughter, they have wronged you. Anybody can wrong you even now or tomorrow. And the badness with the Christian community and even non-Christian is that I have everything and I'm fed up with you and I don't want to hear from you. Jesus said that we need to forgive 7 times 70. When you multiply, it's really impossible really not to do it, because 70 by 7 is so big. And therefore we need to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. The 2,148 children whom we have at Muli Children Family, We are training them on loving Jesus Christ, loving God, love your God, do everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. I can do everything. Where they have come, the girls, the prostitutes, the child mothers, they come from the world where there is no love, where they've been neglected, they've been kicked, they've been married for a year, kicked out. No access to education, no food, no shelter. And those children, you meet them in the street, desperate. And then you try to give, to do something, give a helping hand. God wants us to change them. Not only giving them food or clothing, but it's more important when we give them the word of God, which is a living. And then, you know, people challenged me in the beginning from our church. And they said, the pastor said, we are praying that God will change you, to bring you back. Because I said, I would not be able to be in the church where only they are telling me to leave the children, not to go to look for the prostitute and bring them to the house of God, not to bring those young people who have been in the gangs, you know, in the streets, those who are still in the prison. They never wanted me to be their leader, that church. And I said, okay, they told me, choose two things. One, you go and do what you are doing, or you be our leader. And then I said, I don't want to be your leader. I want to be God's servant. And once you are God's servant, you listen to your master. Yeah. And the master, when he says yes, then you say, I'll follow. So I followed God. 21 years, you have seen quite a few, but what you have seen is very little. It's so much. Many people who have been really blessed. So many people who have given their life to Jesus Christ. The community, over 25,000 people around the community have seen the Lord through, you know, medical care, through food sharing, and again, changing the environment. Changing the environment as means changing the lives of people. Because when we change the life of people, we have to change the environment. And therefore, the two goes together. And therefore, I started now training people and talking about the importance of keeping the environment, planting trees, and the whole community, they started following that. It has affected the whole country already. And this year, in November, we are going to have a global seminar, and to come to Muli Children Family for youth, and we will host them for 3 days. And just imagining people from the West, from everywhere, the youth represented from each country coming only to a very remote area known as Ndalani Muli Children Family to talk about the importance of environment and changing the climate. That is something that we also need to do. And finally, because I know I can talk and share, finally, I want to encourage you in your life that to know that God has got a good purpose in our life. Even though we may be old or young, God still has got something for you to do. To change a life of one person, a child, it means a lot to God. You may think that you are doing nothing when you have only two children helping somewhere. But I tell you, it's what God wants. Because you cannot reach 10 miles unless you cover on one step when you are walking. You have to start with only one step. And through that, you'll be able to accomplish so much. Finally, I want to thank you so much for having chosen to come and listen to me. And I feel so much humbled to see the great men and women of America coming to listen to me and listen to what God has really done into my life. This is so great. I want to invite you come to Kenya, come to Bully Children Family, be part of the of a change to other people who will see you when you come. And they will be able to reach out. I'm sure some of you have come to Africa many times, but just come, be with us, and we'll move on another different direction. The different direction is fulfilling the greatest commission, reaching out to the unreached, and be able to tell them the truth of life. Loving Jesus is love. When you love other people, you love God. When you love God, then you love His people. God bless you, and thank you so much.
Anybody had some questions that they wanted to ask Brother Charles, they feel like everybody might enjoy, and then afterwards people can approach him personally. Anybody have any questions? By the way, I've met his mother and dad, and they're very, very interesting people, very nice people. I've seen their home. I really recommend that you pray to the Lord about whether or not you should go here, because it, you know, I've never been to the Holy Land. People tell me you should go to the Holy Land. But I get a sense when I come to MCF that God is there and He's at work, and He's at work in the lives of these kids and these people. We bring our money and we bring our efforts. We work, we do this, we do that, whatever. But they change us. They touch us in such ways. Questions? Anybody have a question for Brother Charles?
Charles, I'm assuming with the span of your organization, it takes a lot of people to run the organization. How many of your staff members have you graduated from your own family, from the kids that have grown over 21 years?
It's quite a big number, but those who are working with me now, having gone through our program, having been brought up through Mulli Children Family, we have about 100 and I think about 120, 125 there. But then the rest, many, many now, you know, they work with the different sectors, especially the government, NGOs, and the banks, and so forth.
This is it's a family, and these kids come back. I mean, they come in, they visit, and they stay, and if they get a little down on their luck, they come, and then they get sent back out to do their thing, and... But they're called beneficiaries. That's what they call. They don't call them orphans. Call them beneficiaries. Other questions? Yes.
You might share with them about how, isn't it after high school they serve a couple of years before they go on to university or something?
Well, in order to, in Kenya there's college and university, and you can come out of a high school in Kenya and go to college. But in order to go to university, you have to take two additional years of schooling to qualify you for university. Beyond high school, that's what you're referring to.
We saw some of the children working there.
Mm. Yes, yeah, there were children who at Mully's who had finished their schooling, and so they were taking the additional coursework and working at MCF while they were doing that. Other questions? Yes, sir.
Charles, in your book, you talk to a lady that's visiting there, one of your places, about prosperity. Has your view changed? How would you define prosperity?
Well, thank you. First of all, I'll just make a ground of your question. And one thing is that prosperity, it means being able to achieve the very best of in your life, getting, you know, like acquiring wealth, through hard work, and be able to prosper in different ways in your business, and have anything and everything that you need for you, for your, you know, for your family, and therefore that is the prosperity, wanting to, you know, have that. But me always, for the last 21 years, I came to realize that prosperity is not the way that people look at me. I look at it, the lives changed the life that has been touched, the life that has have hope being transformed and become people with hope. And the more I do all that kind of work, I find that it's really prosperity. It's where, you know, my heart is. It's where my joy is. Because if somebody, you know, when I see on the left side, like, you know, houses or big cars or anything, like anything you can talk about. So that one, myself, I don't count. I always count it as something. It's nothing. Because it's something that everybody may have it, but a life changed. Number of many, several life changed is where I see the really prosperity. It's like it's another different world that people may not see that. It is hidden. It is hidden unless God reveals, you know, to you and then get to know. Because everybody will look at the other side of affluence and see that is really the prosperity.
Yeah. Charles, have you any idea, talk about the beneficiaries, have you any idea, the multiplication of numbers, how large the Moli family is with the spouses and children of all of these 20 of these?
6,000 kids have gone through the program. And they marry, they have kids. Do you have any idea how big it
is? Any idea what that number has multiplied to?
What I know is that over 6,000, according to our record, they have gone through our program. And not all of them that we know where they are, but some of them we know. Also those who work in the government, those who are also teachers and working in the banks and so forth. Because they visit, they pay a visit to Moli Children Family after 1 year, others they come even two or three times a year, others they may stay even for 2 years and then they come and they visit. And therefore, it's a family, because some of them, I know one who has got four children, four children in their family, and there's also more with the two children, others, one child, and so forth. So it's a family which is multiplying. And the one thing I did not say is very unique is about the life changed. When they are there, every day they learn about God through the Bible, reading every day through prayer. And their life, when it gets changed, by the time they go to university or another place, they are really strong. They are like missionaries. They have the word. They believe in God. They trust in God so much. And so they are life changers. They go to the world to change. And therefore, some of those who go, like one of them who is in Australia, I'll just give you just a short example. It's a boy, Turkana boy from northeastern Kenya, northwestern Kenya, and he was killed during the cattle rustling. And this boy, his name is Wilson Imoni, and he came. I met him in the street of Kitale. He came to Moli Children Family. He did his grade 12 at Moli Children Family, and through that, then God opened a door for him to go to study in Australia. So he joined one of the universities in Melbourne, and then he started working very hard. He topped the class until he finished. And he got first class honors and with a distinction. He kept that record there. Before he completed, when he was in his third year, he met a white lady there, and then he wrote to me. He said that he wanted to get married to this lady, and she was Christian, and our parents were business people and also Christian, committed Christian. And then they organized and they paid for our ticket. Me and my wife, we flew and we witnessed their marriage. It was in the television, it was in the newspaper about a street child who was picked by his father, and his father is coming and Wow, it was a big thing there. He also got employment with the IBM because he learned about IT. And then he is at present, after he completed his university, he is presently in charge of Asia, working with them, working with the IBM. And he is earning a good amount of money. He bought a house, and he is living in his own house together with his family. He has got one baby, a boy, by name Toby. And he is the one, when I shut this, my telephone, I looked at it and then I saw +61. That means code number of Australia. When somebody was ringing, it was him. Yes, he rings from time to time. He has to say, "Dad," he calls me. Every child, they call me Daddy. All of them, so many of them. And then even those who have graduated, the girls who were prostituted, they leave MCF with a good moral because we teach them good morals, the values of us person, build them this, their self-esteem, become very good. They get husbands. We prepare them for marriage. We prepare boys to become responsible fathers and so forth. So that's the kind of a family. Yeah.
Are all eight of your biological children involved in...
Good question, yeah.
...the Mully Children's Family Organization?
I am really blessed. I'll start with my wife. And she's the main supporter of Mully Children Family. She works with me closely. And six of my biological children, they having completed their universities, they joined Mully Children Family. They work with me. And one of them is working at Heart for Africa in Switzerland. He is the person who is headed. Kaleli. Yes. When Brother Wayne came to, we met in Switzerland. Then they visited the Mully Children Family in Kenya, and he was so touched. And then later they asked me if I could come to South Africa, to Switzerland, to help them to have Mully model, MCF model. And then instead of having prayed, I felt like Kaleli, my son, because he's the one who is so good in agriculture, and we built also the greenhouses with him. So I felt like he would be the one to make a change in Switzerland. And he's there now. He has worked with him for quite some time. And so the others five are with me, and they are working with me, and they work very hard. Initially, when we started, I never paid them any money. So, even myself, I don't get salary. You may be surprised today to know that somebody is working without salary. My salary is food. My stomach, when you feed me, that's all. At home, same. All clothing. When people buy me clothing, I don't go to shop. I don't know how to do shopping. Even shoes and everything, I don't. So, and I don't ask. So it's a faith ministry. So then I've also trained them that way. But lately, about 2 years ago, almost three years to the friend from Australia, not from Australia, from Canada, they said, you cannot impose some of your own feeling and wishes to your own children. You need to do something different. And then I said, we have no budget for my family. And therefore, about 2-3 people, they organized themselves to be able to give on a monthly basis toward the support of my own children. So they are getting something for them to buy what they want, and also to be able to feed themselves. So that's how it is. But over 21 years, we have worked with my wife, and no salary. We don't have any budget for myself, because when I was 40 years, I said to God, God, I would not like to do business anymore. I don't want to be employed. I want to serve you. And since that time, up to now, I've been expecting from God. Even watch, sometimes, you know, there is a time even when I did not have, I've never told you, my friend, I did not have innerwear or underwear. And for some time it was torn, you know, only my wife knew. Because she helped in washing. And we prayed, and I said, okay, I will not share with the people, because I never wanted to share with the people about my needs. And one day, there was a team that came to Muli Children and Family a long time ago. It was about 15 years ago, or 14 years ago. And the one lady brought 3 dozens of underwears. My size. Not extra large.
Can you imagine that your prayer time? Go out and buy 36 pairs of middle briefs.
So I had enough, and then I gave to other people. I had enough, and you know, it took a long time, but I never shared with the people. It's just like that. Even today, always for my needs, I also keep quiet but pray. Somebody will know. I don't know how they know. And then they will move, and then I will get blessing. So that's the kind of life. Thank you.
Do you have an easy-to-understand a reference point of your capabilities and what you can do with money that you collect? And what I'm getting at is, can you say, if I have $10, I can feed 5 children for 4 days, or with $100, I can put them through school? Is there anything that you can share with us that makes you understand what you're capable of doing? Mm.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I was a businessman and entrepreneur. And when you are a businessman in mind, so the plans that you make, the strategic plannings, the implementations of what you have in plan flows so well. And therefore, I have people who are employed on the accountings, on the agriculture, and you know, as teachers and so forth. And therefore, we have a kind of good system which shows what we need and how much we need for a certain amount. You know, of children, how many do we need to have for the next 5 years, and how much money do we need per day for each child? And so we know all those. And on the other side is about education, because we buy books, pen, and we employ the teachers, we pay them salaries. So all these things has to be planned and put well, so that we have a balance of money going for education, for food, going for medical care, to pay salaries. And that's what we have been doing. And therefore, for people to join also Muli Children, because when they see the way where we have reached, because we have been able now to cover about 45% of our income come from generating income, 55 from well-wishers and friends. And the people, when they see what you have seen, they may think, this is Africa. How can this all happen? This is too much, and it's getting too much for them. But I say, this is a new model, and I feel like I will not be afraid to show what God has done. And I show that so that it motivates people. Even when you want to give or you don't want to give, you may understand and know that when you give your money, it's well utilized and multiplied in a business, you know, perspective. To you have a shilling or a dollar, you multiply to come to be $2, and that's how we have been operating.
It's really good to have you here, brother, and we're always amazed at what God has done with you, and we really appreciate your friendship, and I hope that everybody will have an opportunity to visit with him And if you need to pick up a book, that's fine. And so there's lots of food back there that needs to be eaten. It's an obligation. Otherwise, we'll have to take it home. So God bless you all. Enjoy the rest of this evening.